Well, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and someone who was in love with the Tennessee Volunteers was Bill Conley. SP Plus rankings came out, loves him some Tennessee and loves him some Joe Milton. That's coming up and more here on your Wednesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it, your Wednesday edition of the show. This is Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day, and I am your host, Eric Kane. As always, you can hit me up on Twitter, @_Kane or @LockedOnVols, and fill those comment sections on the YouTube channel by subscribing, liking this video, and supporting the show there. And as always, appreciate you guys making it your first listen wherever you find your podcast. All right, today's episode, it is brought to you in part by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook partner of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to go ahead and get started. All right, so if you're watching on YouTube, I think the picture's a little blurry. At least that's what I'm anticipating, because it looks like my little reception bar is a little low. So I apologize. I've been waiting for 30 minutes. It's almost like kind of like a cell phone at sometimes, whenever the reception's not good. Don't understand it. Plugged in, hard jacked into the computer, into the router. It's a little frustrating, but is what it is. We got to make do sometimes. We got a fun show coming up today. Really, really do. Like I said in the cold open, Bill Conley, SP Plus rankings. Love sending some Tennessee. We'll hit up that here in just a couple of minutes or a couple of seconds. Josh Ward, Ward Wednesday in segment two. And then Tennessee and Alabama. That's tonight. Monster Showdown, a top 10 showdown in Thompson Bowling Arena. Will Tennessee turn the tide? Will Tennessee improve on its 3-4 snide? We'll find out. The top-ranked Crimson Tide come to town tonight, and we'll discuss that matchup here in a moment. Okay, let's talk about Bill Conley's SP Plus rankings. Now, we discussed a portion of these last week. He kind of put out, he does these in three different tiers, right? You've got returning production, which is what he bases most of his rankings on. And we discussed how Tennessee was the 69th best, or this is rated 69th in the nation in terms of returning production. We discussed that last week on the show. So that's part of the overall SP Plus rankings. That weighs about 50% into his overall grade of a team, right? A third of the grade comes from recent recruiting. That meaning the last few cycles, starting with the most recent cycle, weighing the most in his projections. And then, of course, this also takes into account transfers from the transfer portal. That counts for about a third of his ranking. So if you're keeping track at home, you're at about around 83%. And then the remaining 15-ish percent comes from recent history. For Tennessee, it'd be the past 2 to 4 years, meaning if your team is consistently good year over year over year, then it's easier to project that you have a healthy culture, a healthy system, a healthy program, and it's easier to project that you're going to be, you know, good again this coming up year. For Tennessee's case, was really good this past season. That's good. That's improvement. But according to Bill Conley, you can't weigh that too heavily, because you need to see it year over year. So that kind of does make sense. But that's kind of how he weighs his teams in terms of his SP Plus rankings. These SP Plus rankings are not intended to be a top 25. Essentially, it is a power ranking taking into the variables of returning production, recent recruiting, and recent history amongst a program. So where does Tennessee rank in Bill Conley's SP Plus rankings? He will do these rankings once again in the month of May and again in August. So it's a couple of times a year. If you look at where Tennessee is in Bill Conley's SP Plus rankings, Tennessee comes in at number 6 in the country. Number 6. Sixth in the country. Not too bad. Tennessee has a grade of 24.1, which is the 6th highest ranking or rating in terms of these preseason rankings here. Offense comes in at 46.0, which is the 2nd highest rated offense, according to Bill Conley. And the defense ranks 21.8, which is the 32nd highest ranked defense in the country. You look around at who's in front of Tennessee. Well, Georgia is up at the top. Georgia's at 1, back-to-back year-over-year success. Well, a national championship in 2021, a national championship in 2022. Recruiting class, Kirby has piled on there at Georgia since he's been the head coach. It's easy to see why Georgia is that number 1 ranking. Georgia's at 1, Ohio State is at 2, Michigan's at 3, Alabama is at 4, Penn State is at number 5, and then Tennessee is at number 6. The rest of the top 10 is LSU at 7, Oregon at 8, Texas at number 9, and USC at number 10. We'll take a look at what teams are ranked around the SEC. So I've already mentioned those that are in the top 10. That's quite a few of them. Number 1, Georgia. Number 4 is Alabama. Number 3 in the SEC is Tennessee. Number 4 in the SEC, ranked number 7 in the country, is LSU, according to these SP Plus rankings. Number 17 in the country, but 5th in the SEC, is Texas A&M. 18th in the country is Ole Miss, 6th in the SEC. 7th in the SEC and 20th in the country is Florida. 23rd in the country and 8th in the SEC is Mississippi State. 9th in the conference and 24th in the country is Kentucky. 26th in the country and 10th in the conference is Auburn. Let's see here. 11th in the conference and 29th in the country is Arkansas. 32nd in the country is Missouri. That's 12th in the conference. South Carolina, number 33 in the nation, 13th in the SEC. And Vanderbilt is 71st in the nation, and that is dead last in the SEC by a long shot. Again, the second to last team in the SEC, according to these SP Plus rankings, that is South Carolina at 33rd in the nation. And then Vanderbilt's there at number 71. So, interesting stuff. And again, Tennessee does return a lot. Tennessee loses a lot, but Tennessee does return a lot both on offense and defense. Tennessee has done well in recent recruiting classes. A couple top 10 finishes the last couple of years. Plus, if you weigh the most recent one more heavily, Tennessee, of course, brought in a 5-star quarterback, number 1 in the on-3 rankings, in Nico Iamaleava. Also, if you take into account the transfer portal of last year and this year, last year was Brew McCoy. That was the big heavy hitter, right? This past offseason, you go and get Dante Thornton, who is experienced. Go and get John Campbell, who is experienced. Go get Christian, or not, God, I always do that. Christian Charles is a defensive back for Tennessee. Charles Campbell is a kicker from Indiana, but now he's at Tennessee. Go get Keenan Peely, who's an experienced linebacker from BYU. Go get Gabe Judy-Lally, who is an experienced cornerback from BYU, but started his career at Vanderbilt. All that stuff kind of weighs into these ratings here for Tennessee. But it's interesting to see that the SP Plus ratings and rankings here from Bill Conley of ESPN, they just love them some Tennessee in a big way. You go down here and you look at conference by conference breakdown. The average SP Plus rating by conference, SEC was number 1 at 16.6. The Big Ten is at number 2 at 10.1. So you see that disparity there. The SEC is high, you know, by and large, way out in front by over 6 points compared to number 2 in the Big Ten. You look at the top 3 teams with the highest ratings from each conference. The SEC is Georgia, Alabama, and then Tennessee. For conversation's sake, I'll tell you a couple of the other Power Fives. Big Ten is Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. Big 12 is Texas. They love them some Texas here in these rankings. Oklahoma, and then TCU. Of course, TCU is coming off a national title run. Pac-12 is Oregon, USC, and Utah. And then the ACC is Florida State, Clemson, and North Carolina. Love them some Florida State as well. You go on down here, and you kind of break into subsections, and there's a buy and a sell category. It actually, it says buy, exclamation point. No, we're not talking NSYNC here. We're talking Bill Conley, ESPN, SP Plus rankings. Buy. Buy, not buy, we'll see you later, but buy. Number 6, Tennessee. And he puts in parentheses, Tennessee came in 10th in the way too early top 25. This is what Bill Conley writes on the University of Tennessee of why you should buy stock in the Volunteers. Who's ready to ride the Joe Milton roller coaster one last time? After winning the starting job at both Michigan in 2020 and Tennessee in 2021, thanks to a rocket launcher attached to his right shoulder, Milton ended up backing up Hendon Hooker for most of the past 2 seasons in Knoxville. And if he is finally able to live up to that hype, Tennessee could do more than just that. The Vols were replacing Hooker and star wideouts Jalin Hyatt and Cedric Tillman, but returned most of the defense and plenty of big play weapons, and SP Plus is giving Josh Heupel's squad the benefit of the doubt. So take stock in Tennessee. They were the number 1 team listed here by Bill Conley. That's a pretty strong strong endorsement there. The other teams that you should buy stock in would be Texas. And he literally says, here we go again. Texas seemingly gains confidence every offseason, and then they let us down. But here we go again with Texas. Oklahoma there is at number 14 overall. He says buy stock in Texas A&M. And I thought this was interesting because Texas A&M was such a disappointment. And again, I see that the bars are low, and if you're watching on YouTube, I apologize. Just one of those days. If you're listening, it doesn't matter, but the screen's a little blurry. This is what he says on Texas A&M. "We're just rolling through the list of strong recruiting achievers, underachievers, are we now? Jimbo Fisher's Aggies were the nation's top underachievers in 2022, responding to the hype from the top-ranked recruiting class by going 5-7 and losing quite a few of those star recruits to the portal. But most of the starters return. A&M is 7th in returning production, and while the underachieving offense bears the burden of proof in the offense coordinator Bobby Petrino's first season, the defense should absolutely be dynamite. That should drive at least a minor rebound." So interesting there. Also lists Florida down here as a team that you could potentially buy. He actually lists number 20 Florida or number 21 UCLA. It says both the Gators and Bruins are rebuilding, both at quarterback and on the offensive line. Pretty loaded everywhere else. It's probably a safe bet the quarterback and O-line issues result in one of the two teams underachieving projections, but either could surprise if former blue chippers Jack Miller III or Wisconsin's transfer Graham Mertz for Florida, incoming five-star Dante Moore for UCLA shine quickly behind center. Of course, the quarterback position weighs so much. Quickly, we'll go through a couple of teams that he lists under the sell category. Number 19, TCU, and they lose pretty much everybody. I would not buy stock in TCU whatsoever. Oregon State's listed here. Texas Tech is listed in here. And the team under buy, sell, both, or neither will be number 11, Florida State, who SP Plus has them listed ahead of Clemson to lead the SEC. So found that interesting. Again, it's not everything. It's spreadsheets and calculators and pocket protectors and all that type of stuff. But it's interesting to kind of break down the stats and kind of give those rankings based on ratings where you finished last year and offensive production, defensive production, where you return, you're taking into account the recruiting classes, all that good stuff. And Bill Conley does that a couple of times a year. So Bill Conley, SP Plus rankings, the number sixth team in all the land is your Tennessee Volunteers. So I thought that was interesting. Wanted to bring that here onto the show. All right, when we come back, Josh Ward, Sports 180, formerly. Now it's the Josh and Swain Show of 99.1, The Sports Animal. That is coming up next right here when Locked On Vols returns. But hey, we're midway point at the NBA season, and now's the perfect time to download the FanDuel app. It's America's number one sports book because new customers get no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and so easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to the point spreads to drain threes as well. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. One more time, that is FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel. It's the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Hey guys, welcome back into your Wednesday show, Locked On Vols. Ward Wednesday, hadn't talked to Josh in a couple weeks, so I wanted to get him back on here. Josh underscore Ward, co-host of Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal, every weekday noon to 3. Josh, it's been a tough stretch for Tennessee basketball, losing 3 of the last 4, back-to-back at the buzzer against teams you should beat. Now you got Alabama coming into town tonight, and you got Kentucky on Saturday. Tennessee drops from number 2, as where it was 2 weeks ago, all the way down to number 10 to where it is now. What's going on with Rick Barnes' club?
It's not been the same team since the team we saw climb to number 2 in the polls. That's on the defensive end, and there's some bad luck involved there with shooting that in Missouri knocked down jumpers that you couldn't do anything about. But they had a lot of shots, and there were some things that Tennessee could have done better. There were some mistakes that Tennessee made late in the game against Missouri, late in the game against Vanderbilt. That last 10 minutes against Florida was pretty embarrassing. And that was one night. So coming out of it, my thought was, okay, bad showing on the road after a really impressive game against Texas. But Tennessee did not follow that up with a really impressive showing against Auburn. It was a win. And then you know what happened last week. There is also the reminder that, well, if you don't have buzzer beaters, you still get wins there. And the conversation is a little changed. The ranking has changed. There's the health question with Tennessee's basketball team. There's a lot to get figured out here, and Tennessee has time to do that. Tennessee still has personnel that had us thinking this team is capable of having a lot of success, but they have to play better on both ends of the floor than they have the last couple of weeks.
Well, Josh, when's panic mode? I mean, I don't want to think like that, but of course you lost three of the four. As I mentioned, you have Alabama tonight. You have Kentucky. You have Auburn coming up on the schedule. You got some pretty good, tough opponents, and really the only kind of slam dunk right now that you wouldn't count out would be South Carolina. I mean, when would panic time be if Tennessee doesn't kind of ride this ship here?
Maybe if Tennessee goes 0-2 this week, and beating Alabama is obviously going to be really difficult. I actually think it's more possible than a lot of fans are probably expecting going in because of what you've seen recently, which I get. If Tennessee goes to Lexington and loses, then I'm going to have real concerns about how this team is going to respond. I'm not saying that's going to be easy, but college basketball is an up-and-down game. But if Tennessee goes 0-2, it's all down here the last few weeks in terms of performance. And even what I said a minute ago, if Tennessee had avoided buzzer beaters and gotten wins, those still weren't great performances against Missouri at home or certainly Vanderbilt on the road in Florida the week before. So we've seen a lot of teams that have had a lot of postseason success while having difficult stretches in the regular season. That is college basketball. But I don't have to remind fans about the postseason struggles that Tennessee has had recently. And if they're struggling in the regular season, that's not going to build confidence. So right now, you should not be in panic mode. But if Tennessee doesn't look like they've gotten things figured out, if they continue to make mental mistakes, if they continue to have the same issues we've seen the last couple of weeks, then confidence will go down in the idea of Tennessee picking things back up. Schedule doesn't get that much easier. Alabama's the best team that Tennessee has to face the rest of the way, but a game at Texas A&M will not be easy. At Auburn at the end of the season, Arkansas, when that team comes to Knoxville, they're really good teams for Tennessee to have to face, which could be a good thing or a bad thing.
It's kind of a silly question, but how imperative is it to get Julian Phillips and Josiah Jordan-James back? Can Tennessee win without them? Can Tennessee win without one of them? And how worrisome should we be about Santiago Vescovi at the end of the game? I think right now he might just be in his head a little bit at the free throw line.
Well, in March, I think having Josiah and Julian is a must for Tennessee to max out what it's able to do. We did see the comeback in the second half without either player, because Julian only played in the first half to not play in the second half, and Josiah missed the entire game. But that's 20 minutes of basketball, and Tennessee was able to spend a lot of time at the free throw line, which helped. I know what happened late, but over the course of a weekend, two weekends, what you're trying to get done in the postseason, you need to have Josiah Jordan-James, who is the central figure, in my opinion, in what Tennessee does, and Julian Phillips, who is one of the highest upside players for Tennessee. So you have to have him. Santiago Vescovi at the end of games, I don't know. Who knows? I know that he's a player that has as good of a shooting stroke as you're going to want at the free throw line, but until we see him knock him down, it's going to be the question that everybody asks. Fans watching, media watching, his teammates watching. I do know that his teammates trying to pick him up, Rick Barnes trying to pick him up in the press conference, talking about how much they have confidence in him, and we've seen it a few times now. So I'm really surprised we're having this conversation. A couple years ago, Vescovi was the guy you wanted at the free throw line. And even during this stretch, late against Vandy, late against Missouri, he hit important outside shots that we could have been talking about at the end of the game. Man, those shots from Vescovi ended up making a big difference in being able to win the game. But look at him at the free throw line when he missed against Missouri. That was not the shooting stroke we're used to seeing from Santiago. No. So they know that they're probably going to need him there again. We'll probably get an answer to this question of what happens next.
Josh, what do you make of Trey Smith winning the Super Bowl? Of course, the guy that was here for 4 years and was, you know, played for two different head coaches and didn't win an awful lot when he was here, but of course, always a fan favorite, the struggles that he had to overcome, sliding back to the back end of the draft in the sixth round, but going to a good team. And a couple years later, he's a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, I love Trey Smith's story, everything about it, everything that he's done to be in that kind of position. He was awesome for Tennessee. The story is well documented in Knoxville. I do think that there could be more national coverage of what he overcame from the medical concerns he had while playing at Tennessee, playing through it in Knoxville, and now being a Super Bowl champ. you know, I don't get too many things right, but when it was NFL draft time and he didn't go day one, he didn't go day two, day three, I tweeted out something like, congrats to whichever team finally takes Trey Smith, because you're going to get somebody that's going to win for you. And of course, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not a coincidence. And that is a team that passed on him. They passed on him through several rounds as well, but ultimately said, let's take Trey Smith here, who might have first round talent in the sixth round. And he is an important part of what Kansas City was able to do to rebuild the offensive line the last couple of years and win a Super Bowl. Quality person, hard worker, incredible talent. And a bunch of NFL teams, because they're often scared when they talk about being the toughest sport in the world, they were too scared, and they're scared all the time, and they blew it because of it. They should be looking at Trey Smith as a reminder of, you know what, why don't you bet on people that you believe can go succeed for you? Trey Smith, I thought, was a no-brainer for NFL teams to take a shot on. The Chiefs did, and it paid off for them.
And then lastly, Josh, I'm sure you've had a chance to interact a little bit and speak. Gus Manning passed away earlier this week at the age of 99, a true ambassador for the University of Tennessee, nearly 50 years of full-time service at the University of Tennessee. Still had an office inside Thompson Bowling Arena as late as 2017. What can you say about the life of Gus Manning and the way that he loved those Volunteers?
Yeah, Gus Manning was the best. He did love Tennessee, and Tennessee loved Gus. A lot of people, the biggest names at Tennessee, loved Gus Manning, and I mean that very literally, from General Robert Nealon to Peyton Manning, the affection he had for Gus, but anybody that came in contact with him. And I was lucky enough to sit two spots down from him in the press box for several years at Nealon Stadium. So it was Gus at the end of the row, and then Jimmy Himes, and then me, and you were sitting around that area, I think, for a little bit of time. But a chance to interact with Gus on a fairly regular basis, yeah, during football season, and hearing stories from him. And before I was in the position I am now, I had a chance as a producer for Sports Talk with John and Jimmy for several years on the Sports Animal. When Gus would come in and go on the radio, and for several years while I was producing, it was Gus and Haywood Harris, who's also an icon at the University of Tennessee, and they had a close friendship, and they would come on the radio, and it was grumpy old men telling stories about Tennessee and ripping on each other in a fun, friendly way. And it was just great. And they represented everything that I think fans love about Tennessee. Gus Manning really cared about the University of Tennessee, and a lot of people really cared about Gus Manning. There are a lot of people that will miss Gus.
Josh Ward, you can find him on Twitter at Josh_Ward. What's coming up on the show the rest of the week?
Yeah, a lot of Tennessee basketball talk. We will have reaction after the game, of course, to Alabama, look ahead to Kentucky, what's going to happen the rest of the season. We're in off-season mode in football. We had a good interview with Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl earlier in the week. If anybody wants to go back and check that out, recommend it. Talking about Tennessee players heading to the draft. And Eric, there is recruiting connection for the future. What these guys do with their NFL draft stock is something that Josh Heupel and his coaching staff, I think, can sell to future recruits.
Yeah, no doubt, 100%. Selling the success of the program, trying to get kids inside the door, then ultimately signing the national letters of intent. Josh, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
You got it. Thank you.
We're going to look ahead to Tennessee and Alabama. Number one coming to number 10 Tennessee. That's happening tonight. Can Tennessee right the ship, turn the tide, if you will? Josh is still listening and watching. I know that he liked that one. And get back in the win column. We will find out. We'll preview Tennessee and Alabama. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. All right, guys, welcome back into it. Locked On Vols here on a Wednesday. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, sorry for the blurry image. A little cellular data, I guess, is not this kind of what I call it. I use StreamYard. That's what I record into. It's a really good program. You guys remember about a year ago when I was having issues with Restream? That was the old platform, and how it was just pathetic. Well, I really do like StreamYard. I use it for pretty much everything. But again, sometimes it's like cell phone bars in terms of signal, right? And it's like if you have one bar, then you don't have good signal, and so the picture's blurry. But anyway, it just kind of is what it is. We will make do. But I appreciate you guys for watching. Please subscribe, share, comment on YouTube. Let's kind of populate. It's for the it's, you know, SEO, all that type of stuff. It's it helps us out. So I appreciate you helping us out in that regard. A fun time catching up with Josh Ward there, and we were touching on Tennessee basketball, and boy, it's in a rut. It really, really is a rut, and they need to bounce back really in the worst way. So we're going to preview Tennessee and Alabama here to conclude our show, but I do want you guys to chime in here for the question of the day and answer this before the game tonight, and then maybe after the game you can answer it again. What seed will the Volunteers be in the NCAA tournament come March? That is the question of the day. What seed will the Tennessee Volunteers be in the NCAA come March? NCAA tournament come March. You can hit me up at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. All right, Alabama and Tennessee, about the worst time ever for Tennessee to be playing Alabama. I remember 2 weeks ago when Tennessee was ranked number two in the AP poll, and we kept on saying, boy, and two and a half weeks away, that game against Alabama, it's looming large. Man, that could be a potential one versus two, maybe. Top five matchup. It's still a big-time matchup. It's still a matchup of two ranked teams. The number one team is going to be playing in this game, but it's not the University of Tennessee. That would be Alabama. Since that ranking, Tennessee has lost three of its last four, including its back-to-back losses at the buzzer to Vanderbilt and Missouri. It's been a rough week. But it would be so Tennessee for the Volunteers to bounce back and win this game. Big storyline in this one's obviously going to be health. Julian Phillips, is he going to play? Is Josiah Jordan James going to play for Tennessee? Now, Tennessee made a nice comeback. Tennessee came back, down 17 in the second half, came back, took the lead against Missouri without both those players. But that was also with Tyreek Key dropping 21 of his 23 points in the second half. Can you expect that type of production from Tyreek again? Maybe not that type of production, but you hope that he's kind of turned the tide a little bit. And I've used that phrase already like 10 times. I apologize. You hope that he's kind of turned the corner a little bit. And you can get some consistent play from Tyreek, who looks like he's shooting the ball well and he's not looking to get rid of the ball. He's looking to kind of hunt down a shot. But if you're asking me right here, recording this a day early, you know how this all works. I mean, I would say that Josiah Jordan James would be my pick to play if either of them play. More than Julian Phillips. We'll see if either of them play, if both of them play, or if none of them play. I bet one of those guys will get out there, and I bet it'll be Triple J. We'll have to see. Tennessee will certainly need him, no doubt. Volunteers are 19-6 on the year, 8-4 in the Southeastern Conference. Alabama is 22-3 and 12-0 in the SEC. Alabama has won three straight in this series over the University of Tennessee. However, the Volunteers have won five straight home games versus AP top 10 teams. Well, that's good, right? I mean, Alabama's got the advantage right now. Alabama's won three straight in the series, but Tennessee has won five straight home games against AP top 10 teams. Tennessee and Alabama, very comparable in the metrics, right? So according to the net rankings, Tennessee is at three. Alabama's at number two. KenPom has Tennessee at five. Alabama at two. The adjusted offensive efficiency rating, Tennessee is 51st in the country. Alabama is 13th in the country. The adjusted defensive efficiency rating still has Tennessee as the number one team in the country, though that defense cracked a lot last week against Missouri and Vanderbilt, but the Volunteers still number one there. Alabama is at number six. Quad one games, Tennessee is 4-2. Alabama is 7-2 in quad one games. Quad two games, Tennessee is 4-4. Alabama is 6-1. So Alabama has not allowed teams that are worse than the Crimson Tide to sneak up and beat them, whereas Tennessee has done just that in quad two games. A lot of good teams in quad two, but still, those are games Tennessee should have won. All right, little scouting report here on Alabama. Alabama's won 13 of its last 14 games. Only loss in that span was to Oklahoma when they got blew out of the gym in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. You remember that a couple weeks ago? That Saturday, it was like 92-60 or whatever. Oklahoma beat the crap out of Alabama. That's its lone loss in its last 14 games. It's won 13 of its last 14 games. Key wins so far this season. Of course, undefeated in the SEC is Alabama. Alabama's also beaten Houston, Michigan State, and also thoughts and prayers to Michigan State and that family, East Lansing. My goodness, the senseless issues we have in this country. I just hate, makes you sick, makes you completely sick what happened Tuesday night on the campus of Michigan State. Three fatalities, five people in critical condition. Man, thoughts and prayers to those affected, their families, their friends, entire Michigan State family and campus. Just horrendous. All right, I'll get back on here. Key wins, again, for Alabama: Houston, Michigan State, UNC, Memphis. And of course is undefeated in SEC play. Key losses are really the only losses so far this season for Alabama. I mentioned that Oklahoma game. That was a loss in January. It lost to Gonzaga in December, and it also lost to UConn in November. So Alabama team that's had one loss each month of the season so far. November, December, January, has not lost in February to date. For Tennessee to win, they've got to have an answer for Brandon Miller. Got to have an answer for Brandon Miller. And if you are down, no Josiah or no Julian Phillips, that is going to be a lot of Jemiah Mashak going up against Brandon Miller. Maybe you let him score 40, but you know, hold everybody else to like 25. You know, maybe that's the winning formula. I don't know. It is going to be a tall task to stop Brandon Miller regardless. But if you don't have Josiah Jordan James, if you don't have Julian Phillips in this basketball game, it is going to be tough. Brandon Miller, 18 points per game. That leads the SEC. 8.2 rebounds per game. Fourth in the SEC. He shoots 43% from beyond the three-point line. He is a projected top five NBA lottery pick, and he's a candidate for the National Player of the Year with those numbers this year. Brandon Miller is a good player, and he's carried Alabama to a lot of wins this year. Helping him out a little bit has been Mark Sears. Mark Sears, a transfer from Ohio this past season, his first year in Tuscaloosa. 14 points per game and 30 minutes per game. So he's been really, really efficient for Alabama. Here is one injury note for the Crimson Tide. It was announced on Tuesday that Charles, I don't know how to say his name. I'm not going to lie to you. Benacchio. Whatever, I've only seen Alabama play a couple times this season. I don't remember hearing his name. But their center, Charles Benacchio, questionable with a minor knee injury. So if they're without him, that'd be, you know, good news for Tennessee, right? That's a rim protector, that's a rebounder, a starting center. So hopefully Tennessee can get some good news for themselves. And, of course, Alabama's hoping that their center can play in this as well. But when it comes down to it, Tennessee's just got to fight, crawl. It's got to find a way, right? Tennessee's really been good at home against really good teams. Again, I mentioned five straight wins against AP top 10 teams at home. But Alabama's played exceptionally well this season, despite some off-the-field issues from its teams and distractions there, and despite the hiccup against Oklahoma in that Big 12 SEC Challenge. Tennessee's got to find a way to kind of snap this streak here. You got Alabama. You got Kentucky on the road. You play against Auburn. You're going to be at Texas A&M at some point. I mean, it is tough sledding for the University of Tennessee that's playing its worst basketball right now during the heart of the SEC stretch. Hopefully Tennessee can pull through and kind of figure some things out. Santiago Vespi's got to get past his mental block of shooting free throws late in games. Kai Ziegler has got to get back to playing Kai Ziegler basketball, which is one of the best players in the country during that stretch a couple weeks ago. So Tennessee needs a couple of things to go their way. They're going to be trying to figure it out against Alabama. That's coming up tonight, 7 o'clock. And, of course, that'll be at Thompson Bowling Arena. Alabama 22-3 on the season, 12-0 in SEC play. And Tennessee is 19-6, 8-4 in SEC play. All right, guys, that will do it for this edition of Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys for hanging out with me here today. If you're watching on YouTube, sorry about the video quality today. I know it sucks, just kind of part of it. But please like, subscribe, comment here on the YouTube channel. Let's help grow this and get this in front of more Vol fans. If you're listening to it, appreciate it for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you wouldn't mind. That would help me out and the podcast out a lot. Rate me 5 stars as well. As always, thank you so much. Stay safe if you're going to the game tonight. Have a blast, and we'll recap it all. We'll talk about all of it the rest of the week right here on Locked On Vols.